Our lay reader is Braden Hall.
The scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 20. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everybody. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to other gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to other various kinds of tongues, to the other the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each and one individually as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is Christ, for in the one Spirit we are all baptized, into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as they choose. If there are all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I am so thankful we had time to commission our church leaders for the new year today. I'm looking forward to serving Centenary Church with our new church leaders. Also, I would like to recognize all outgoing leaders who had faithfully served over the years. On Pentecost Day, after the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus' disciples, it naturally led the birth of a church as a community of believers. Then, the church has been able to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to all over the world as the Holy Spirit was pouring out spiritual gifts upon believers. And even today, the Holy Spirit is empowering men and women with various spiritual gifts for the work of the church. I feel so confident to see our church leaders that we will do good this year. We will do better this year. Amen. Unfortunately, there has been a great deal of confusion and misunderstanding on the topic of spiritual gifts. Some people think that a spiritual gift is the same thing as a natural talent, like playing the piano or throwing a football, or artistic abilities. Others think that a spiritual gift refers only to mysterious and supernatural gifts, such as speaking in tongues and performing miracles and prophesy. Because there is so much confusion, a precise definition is important. We can find a simple definition of a spiritual gift in the New Testament. That is, God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. Did you get it? Spiritual gifts are gifts that are freely given by God. They are for believers only, which is why we say they are different from natural talents. And most importantly, spiritual gifts are given so that we can effectively serve the body of Christ, God's church. Whatever spiritual gifts you are given are not your own to use as you please. These gifts are entrusted to you for the purpose of growing a healthy church. No matter how small a spiritual gift you have, it was given to you by God because it is absolutely necessary for the centenary church. And that small gift can be the most essential gift for our church's work. However, there are many sincere believers who doubt that they have any spiritual gift at all. You know, I see no one would think like that in our congregation. I want to make sure that. But the Bible is very clear. Gifts are to be used for the common good. Paul writes in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God doesn't give us gifts so we can show off. Gifts are to be used to build up the body of Christ to glorify God. I heard a story of a young woman who used to live in Hollywood. She was a very gifted screenwriter, made big money, wrote for a major sitcom, but she went home every night feeling sick. All day long, she and her co-workers poked fun at people, made jokes at other expense, wrote stories of betrayal and manipulation. She was using her gifts not to build up the body and not to glorify God. And finally, she quit and moved to her hometown to find a healthier way to use her gift. Gifts are to be used for the common good. If you've ever given someone a special Christmas gift and seen them just to put it in a closet and never use it, you might be able to imagine how God feels when we don't use our spiritual gifts for the common good. Therefore, our church vision is to be a body of Christ where everyone uses their gifts for God's ministry. Amen? If you want to discover what your spiritual gifts are, ask God to show you what spiritual gifts He has given you. You might pray, "Open my eyes and show me where I fit in the body of Christ." Generally, if you continue to walk In the Spirit, you will be given opportunities to work them, both inside and outside the church. And you will start to notice that certain kinds of opportunities seem to come your way more frequently. Then you will know the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you. Or you can simply go to your pastor. Who could that be? Or go to your church leaders or friends who know you well and ask them to tell you what spiritual gifts they think you have. You may be surprised at the answer you receive. Your pastor and friends may have seen evidence of a spiritual gift at work in your life that you never even considered. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may lead you to practice new spiritual gifts if there are needs to carry out the work of the church, so you never become bored of using the same spiritual gifts for decades and decades. That is why I want our church members to rotate serving their committees and boards and team ministry to find out your new spiritual gifts and develop them. One prayer I had while preparing to transit to Centenary Church was for the Holy Spirit to bestow the special gift of tongues. In my case, the gift of tongues was to speak in English. Because English is my second language, I have always been fearful of serving at a cross-cultural appointment. That is why the reason I remained at a Korean UMC for a long time. Sometimes I even did self-anointing over my head, asking desperately for the Holy Spirit to pour out the gift of speaking and writing in English. In the beginning, it took twice as long to prepare a sermon in English, because I prepared my sermon first in Korean and then translated it into English. Before I finalized my sermon, I usually sent my sermon to my children and my husband to proofread. So we are together. In the beginning, it would return to me with lots of edits. But as the years went by, I have been comforted by my children's comments of improvement. In the second year at Centenary, I challenged myself to write my sermon in English instead of Korean. As I resonate and meditate on scriptures in English more. It was difficult at first, and I am still working on it. And as you are hearing me now, you wouldn't believe how much effort and wrestling I go through week after week. Now, I have added another prayer in my third year. I began to pray ambitiously. Oh, Holy Spirit, let me have dreams in English, not Korean. You may think I'm joking, but I am serious. I read an article that if you dream in the native language where you live, it proves that you have deepened your cultural relationship with that country. I haven't had many dreams in English yet, but one time, two time I had. Though I'm looking forward to having new experiences of improving my English, even in my dreams. As such, spiritual gifts can be gradually developed as we pray for it. Amen. It happened at a spiritual retreat I went to long time ago. At the seminar, the instructor showed us a drawing of the earth as seen from space. The harmony of colors in the painting was so beautiful that everyone who saw it was amazed. Surprisingly, she didn't major in art or have any prior interest in painting, but began painting as her heart was moved after meditation at the retreat. She was amazed to look at the drawing after finishing it. And she said that the potential of God's gifts within us is unlimited, but we do not enjoy the abundant grace of God's gifts because we are indifferent or do not have the opportunity to use them. In verses 12 and 13, Paul used an analogy comparing a church to a human body. He argued that, like a body, a community needs diversity and interdependence. The image isn't of every part of the body doing the same thing, but every part of the body contributing to the same purpose. It is just like a symphony in that everyone plays different instruments, but they are all playing the same piece. Paul said that everyone in the body is indispensable. Do we recognize that we are all in it together? We may have different perspectives about theology, mission, worship, sexuality, guns, wealth, global warming, gender, and many other topics. There's no value in getting defensive and condemning. There's value in listening to each other and remembering that we are one. Amen? And surprising as it may be, that we need each other. I need you, I need you, I need you. One thing we need to be aware of is not confusing spiritual gifts with basic Christian responsibilities. For example, every Christian is supposed to pray because prayer is like a spiritual breath that we need for our spiritual life. But some people have the gift of prayer. They really enjoy taking an hour or more a day and praying to God, praying for their friends, their church family, the world. It comes naturally. Others find it a struggle. But we all need to pray. Just because you don't have the gift of prayer doesn't exempt you from praying. There's a difference between spiritual gifts and basic Christian responsibilities. You should not excuse yourself by saying, "God, you didn't give me that gift." Dear congregant, remember that each of us has a place to serve the Lord. None is greater, just different. Let's remember that God has called each of us for his kingdom work in church. As believers in Christ, we are to lift one another up through prayer and actively use the spiritual gifts God has given for one another. Therefore, let us rejoice in the diversity of the gifts that God has given us. Every single gift is precious, as every single member is precious as well. Now, tell your brothers and sisters in Christ next to you how thankful you are for what they have been using their God-given gifts faithfully. Can we do that? Thank you, our youth group. Thank you, Turner, Ella, Taylor, Braden, and Jacob. Thank you all. Thank you all. Let us bless our church leaders who have been commissioned in the new year for the work of Centenary Church. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for bringing your faithful men and women to our church to serve our missions and ministry. Lord, pour out spiritual gifts that are essential to the growth of our church abundantly upon church leaders as well as all church members, so that Centenary Church will grow and become a vital congregation for your glory. God's people say, amen, amen.